Hi, everyone. Welcome to another amazing episode of Brown Eyed Unicorn. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and today's guest is one of my favorite people on this planet. She's one of my best friends. She's a super talented musician. She's hilarious. She's a true beauty. She's a shining star. And she's a fellow spooky movie addict. We have Leo Kidd.
Hey.
Thank you so much for having me in your apartment, for being here on the pod.
Yeah, welcome to my favorite place in the world.
So you guys, I feel like we need to do a little mise-en-scene, as I like to call it, set the scene for them. You've decorated the fuck out of your apartment for Halloween.
I have. Brings me joy.
Would you like to describe some of your favorite decorations?
Yeah, man. I got $5 pillows from Target.
Sure. This one says boo.
Boo. Bow.
Says fucking bow.
Bow. I got some studded pumpkins.
On brand for you.
Seriously, I literally have a pair of shoes that looks like that pumpkin. I don't know.
You know, I love a seasonal decoration that can double as a weapon. It's literally, yes. You guys, it's a pumpkin with like, it's not just studs. It's like full on spikes.
Yeah, yeah.
You could chuck spikes. It at someone's head. You could launch it at someone.
It is violent.
An intruder.
It's like me.
Yep.
A violent pumpkin.
Well, sure. Well, sure. You have a little pile of gourds.
I do. My roommate went to the pumpkin patch and she picked up some gourds.
You know, I love a gourd. I have to tell you, it's a warty vegetable that's adorable at the same time.
Well, it's going to stretch all the way into November.
Are you going to put it in your Thanksgiving cornucopia?
Perhaps. Yeah. I actually hate decorating for Thanksgiving.
It's just like turkeys and like racist pilgrims, not pilgrims, like racist Native American decorations.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very unsoothing.
I don't like Thanksgiving. It's pointless to me.
I love Thanksgiving.
I don't like to eat that much.
Oh, well, fuck off.
I know. But I used to. I used to be the fucking enormous fat kid. And I would have like 3 servings. Now I just pick a little and I just get so drunk. But like, what's the difference? Sure. That's any other day.
What I like about Thanksgiving, though, is that it's more delicious food than Christmas, in my opinion. I'm not a ham person. I'm not a Christmas ham person.
Okay.
She loves a stuffing, a cranberry, a turkey. And then she likes to take the leftovers and put them in a sandwich the next day cold. But also it's what you get to do on Christmas, i.e. like getting drunk, sitting around and eating a lot without any of the worry about like gift giving.
I guess.
It's Christmas without the frills.
Okay.
It's low maintenance.
You know
Christmas.
What I kind of hate about it?
Well, I think
it's just the lack of color. It's just browns.
Yes.
There are browns everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I can't, it's sandy browns. The
colors, Halloween,
you the
have
food.
Like, you have like an orange. You have a purple.
Thank you. A metallic.
You have a skull. You have a spike.
Yeah.
You also have this witch's shoe that looks like a house with a bat and a light in it.
Yeah.
And I said before we recorded, when I was little, I really wanted to live in a shoe. I thought that'd be pretty fucking tight.
I would live in that.
I have to take a picture of it. I think it's because I love Thumbelina so much, but she like slept in like a walnut shell and like hung out in a teapot.
Who doesn't?
She hung out in a teapot and it sounded really like it looked really fun. And
yes,
like,
and?
Yeah, yeah. And like, I feel like at one point like did like take a nap in a shoe and like it just looked like cozy.
Yeah.
Oh,
get me
God.
In there.
Let's see. What else did I put in my notes? Because, guys, I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about It Follows.
Yeah.
I'm not false advertising on my Instagram, but I just like to like kind of lube us all up with some fall, like getting us pumped about fall. I have a note in my phone that says, in caps, fall is in full force. Target haul. Oh,
yes.
I took this note for you. You recently had a Target haul. Is that where you got all these decorations?
I did, yeah. Target. I also went to Michael's. I also went to Home Goods.
Oh,
anywhere else?
All in one day?
No, I spaced it out.
You splintered it.
Yeah. That was an impulse. The shoe, okay? The witch's shoe was an impulse buy.
It wasn't on your shopping list.
It was not on my shopping list.
You're like, you know what I need to buy today?
Yeah.
At Home Goods.
Yeah. My sister texted me a picture of this witch's shoe.
Sure.
Which is that. Mm-hmm. And I go, where the hell did you get that? I need to go get it now. And
what'd
I cut my hike short on Fryman to make it in time to Michael's to get the shoe.
It was a Michael's purchase.
Yes. 50% off. 50% off all Halloween decorations at Michael's. Get your ass there now.
What? I have to go.
Yeah, we should go after this.
I would really love that. I'm broke. Let's go to Michael's and buy witch's shoes. I want to say that I've been really, we both love a Trader Joe's. That's sort of like my church or synagogue, I should say.
Safe space, honestly.
It was also just Yom Kippur. So Chag Sameach, everybody.
that.
Yeah. Chag Sameach. I didn't observe at all. So okay. Bad Jew. False okay. Advertising okay. In the title of this podcast.
You're living your truth.
Yeah. I'm like, Halloween, sure. Let's celebrate Satan's holiday, yeah. Not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is all about like forgiving people for their wrongdoings. And I tweeted this. I was all about a shady subtweet this week, which is a very juvenile way to deal with my feelings. But that's neither here nor there. I tweeted, sure. If Yom Kippur is about forgiving people for their wrongdoings, we should have another holiday where you just hold everyone accountable for their shit and you send texts to everyone that you've been wanting to call out.
That's the religion we need.
I know. That's
what we need.
You know, Stassi Schroeder has National OOTD Day. My holiday is going to be called, like, I don't know, Accountability Day. And you just, it's an airing of the grievances. You tell everyone. And then, depending on how they respond, you can decide if you want to proceed with that relationship or not. Right. It's really, you're just testing everyone. And you do it all in one day. And then you can, like, drink and go to sleep.
Sounds like the purge of feelings.
Totally. We all need it. Oh, but we both love a Trader Joe's. And they have this amazing, like, pumpkin. Like, just all the pumpkin things are on one rack. It's like a pumpkin face mask, a pumpkin cookie.
Oh, I tried it. It's disgusting.
I almost bought it today. And I was like, I don't think I want pumpkin on my face.
It's slimy. It's horrible. I threw it out. I couldn't even put it on. It's gone.
Too much. But I love, like, a pumpkin candle.
Yep.
I also got the pumpkin ravioli the other day.
Okay.
I love a pumpkin or a butternut squash, like ravioli or a bisque.
A bisque. A basque.
A fucking basque. I got in my car and it was after the gym. I went to the Trader Joe's right after. The one on, I won't tell people where I work out because, you know, I'm a celebrity now. But
they'll follow you. Yeah, it follows.
It follows. Hello. Bring it all back.
It follows.
So. Professional. I check into my gym all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I got these pumpkin raviolis. I stopped doing that actually. Got these pumpkin raviolis and I was so hungry after my workout and eager to eat them that I like violently tried to open them in an elevator. But the plastic is like in the elevator from Trader Joe's to the parking garage to return my car and get to my car. Okay. And the plastic was really stubborn. And so I was just like digging at it with my nails. And then I got in my car and I finally got it open. And I ate cold raviolis in the car. I never actually cook them. I just eat them cold.
Really odd.
It's adulting, in my opinion. You get so like the most exciting thing about your day is pumpkin raviolis and eating them in an elevator.
Can you eat them that way? Don't you have to cook them?
They're not hard, though.
Okay. So they're already cooked.
Yeah. You just like boil them for like a couple mins.
Okay.
And add like a white wine sauce or something like that.
As you take a hard boiled egg out of the bag and just sink those pretty pearly whites into it.
I ate it like an apple, you guys. I ate a hard boiled egg like an apple.
Oh, yeah.
Mere hours ago.
Yeah.
I also just want to say too, one of my favorite memories that has nothing to do with Halloween is the year that I had a house party and so people say you look like Erica Jane all the time.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. Do you remember that birthday party?
She looks
party?
Like me.
Truth. Okay. And I'm just saying, like, it's expensive to be Erica Jane, but it's pretty cheap to look as hot as you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
You look sexy on a budget.
Truly, thank you.
Do you remember my birthday that was, like, a house party, and I had that cake that said cunty, like, inspired by Erica Jane?
Yes. Now I get it, because now I'm, like, all caught up with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I was like, I saw cunty. I was like, I get it now.
Yes, because that year I wore like Adidas wedges and like a sports bra as a top and I was like channeling Erica. Like I beat the shit out of my face.
Yeah.
And I literally was thinking, do you ever like...
out of my face.
Well, do you find, maybe this is just an LA thing or maybe it's not, maybe it's just a human thing. Do you ever find you do all your thinking like in the car, like when you're bored and you'll be like, oh, remember that time? Like when you're like at a stoplight?
Yeah.
I was randomly thinking about this the other day, that birthday party, because I remember you being a big part of that birthday party because like you're just like fun and you're at all my birthdays.
Yeah.
And I had cunty on my cake and this like friend of mine from high school brought like her like friends from Yale.
Cool.
And they came and they were like wildly offended by my birthday cake and like told her to tell me that like I was being offensive at my own birthday party in my own apartment for putting cunty on my cake.
I don't know why are you here? That's what I would say. Why are you here? Who are you? Why are you here?
I know.
Like, my cake, my party, my rules.
My lexicon, my word choice.
Yeah.
And like, take the word back. You know, it's empowering.
I'm seeing a lot of that lately.
Taking like the power back.
Yeah. This is a little off topic, but I was watching Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, love that
And
movie.
At the end, they play the song Yellow.
Oh.
And it's sung in... I want to say Korean. I read an article about it and I was like, oh my God, what is this choice? What is this choice? I was like, was this some white person putting it in? But no, I read about it. Mm-hmm. They're taking the word back. They repurposed the song.
It's beautiful.
Was really cool. And but I was, when I heard it, I was like, wait, this is Coldplay's Yellow song. Like, I'm getting hot. I'm getting sweat.
Oh,
like,
my what's God. Going
on? Yeah. But that was their purpose. Yes. I thought that was pretty rad.
That is really fucking rad.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I love that movie.
Oh, I love that movie too.
So good. Tears.
I love anything about rich people because I'm so far from it right now. Yeah. Further in the financial red than I've been in months, guys. Sure. So head to patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn. Become a patron. Support this podcast and Lillian, who's been trying to fuck my boyfriend recently. But
She is something else.
I know. Well, those were just some notes I had that I was really looking forward to talking about with you. And honestly, if someone has a cunty birthday cake, you should, guys, be cool. Don't be uncool.
Yeah. Enjoy. If you want to write cunty on their birthday cake, let them do it.
Let everyone live. Hey, fellow pop culture lovers. Are you ready to take your love for pop culture to the next level? Well, thanks to my new favorite company, Totally Good Time, you can by getting some adorable merch and wearing pop culture on your goddamn sleeve. Totally Good Time covers the entire canon of pop culture, from Big Little Lies to Real Housewives to The Hills to Ina Garten and so much more. They have thermoses, tote bags, and the most buttery soft sweatshirts and t-shirts that fit like a glove. And with my code Hannah20, you can get 20% off your entire order at checkout. So head to totallygoodtime.com, use my code Hannah20, and treat yourself or your loved ones to some cute AF merch. Pop culture, but make it fashion. Happy shopping! You know who doesn't live? A lot of the people in the movie It Follows.
They're all very sullen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your history with this movie? Your herstory?
My herstory?
Yeah.
Well, I watched it for the first time last year around mm-hmm. this time. And I mm-hmm. couldn't, I don't know. I think it was one of those where it was like, that movie was amazing. And then I remembered nothing about it. Uh-huh. I didn't even know what the monster looked like. I couldn't even remember. Like,
that's right.
I was like, wait, what is this thing? I know it's a thing that follows, but I couldn't remember in like what form it showed up in. Mm-hmm. And actually, I thought that's interesting because that's in scary movies, horror movies. That's one of the main things you remember. You remember the monster, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you remember its form. Yeah. I couldn't remember it. I think that kind of has a lot to say about the movie.
It's so true.
Because it's such a distant... I don't know.
That's fear? The fear comes from like not knowing when or where or how it's going to manifest itself. So it's right. less about like, oh, this monster looks so scary versus the feeling of being scared and feeling like something's after you. Like it leaves you with like a lingering anxiety.
Yeah.
That's hard to shake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, what horror classics you've got, what Freddy, and they're all just such like identifiable characters. Yes. I could not.
Psycho.
All that shit.
Norman.
I could not for the life of me think of what this creature appeared to be. And that says a lot about the whole movie. It's just a feeling. The movie is a feeling.
It's just all tense. Like the way he builds tension in the movie is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I first saw it with my ex-boyfriend who you know, Chad.
Oh.
That relationship with
that guy? Like from Crosby's?
Yeah.
That's how long this movie's been out?
Yeah, since like 2015.
Really?
2019. That relationship is a flash in the pan, but
I just...
We watched it in the summer, though, and how do you feel about this? I feel like movies have like a season that correlates to them.
Definitely.
Like to me, this is like a fall movie. Yeah. I couldn't watch it in July and enjoy it way.
Yeah. I want to watch it with studded pumpkins surrounding me.
Same.
Yeah.
Like I can't watch like a Christmas movie in July. I don't fuck with Christmas in July. No. Like I'm not going to watch The Family Stone when it's like 90 degrees outside. Yeah, I am not a fan.
Really trashy.
I need it to be like the correlating season, you know, 100%.
Yep. Agreed.
So we're really having this like cozy autumnal day together, you guys, amongst like all these decorations with a pumpkin candle.
Oh, I have ripped through that. I got that a week ago. I've ripped through it like...
It's been on all day.
On all day, but it's on all every day.
All day, every
all
day.
Day, every all day.
I brought Aldi. Aldi. I miss Aldi. I loved shopping.
Never been.
Wow, that's chic of you.
I know. I know who I am.
You're like I'm a Trader Joe's bitch through and through. I brought my pumpkin candle to Jake, my boyfriend's, and he's just been burning it when I'm not there. And I'm like, bitch, like get your own candle.
Get it.
Get your own. What's your thoughts on like the opening sequence of It Follows with the girl in her red pumps being like, I'm okay, dad. And the music's like, dad, 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 dad.
I think it's such an amazing shot because it's all in one shot.
Yes.
Like I love those kinds of scenes where it's just, there's, you can't really flub it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be like well rehearsed, like a play, like in theater.
Yeah.
But I just really hate the pumps. Why are you running in the pumps? Take the pumps off.
Yeah.
What are you, I just can't with that in horror movies. It's like, what are you, I'm a survivalist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If something's like, following you, you're going to like live in your Nikes.
Absolutely.
Your running shoes.
I'm not ever going to put on pumps again.
No.
Not that I do now.
Mm-mm.
I'm definitely not going to do it. If there is something out there trying to kill me, I'm wearing, you know, loose fit undergarments pants. No, I'm actually not
like
even
a
wearing undergarments.
Or a sweatpant.
I'm going commando. They're pointless at this point.
Okay.
They don't even fucking matter.
Sure.
Okay. I'm in a full apocalyptic gear.
Yeah. So you're going to let your vag breathe. You're going to wear like a hazmat suit and some Nikes.
Yes.
You're going to have a knife.
I'll never look cute again. So I can't with that. It's so pointless and it made her look dumb as shit. At least we get another mm-hmm. female character who like comes along and
has her wits about her a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. I've always been really confused about this opening sequence and I like looked up like articles on it cause I'm a movie nerd like that. And like, yeah, visually it's like very like striking seeing her run in those red pumps and then seeing her leg like bent back with the pump, like hanging off of it.
Yeah.
Like that image sticks with you, but like
about that.
Yeah. But like, I have always had that question too of like, why would you be wearing those pumps? And I also like I've seen this movie so many times now and I used to always get confused about what time of day it was because I'm like, is it early morning or is it dusk? And then you find out it's dusk. But like it used to really confuse me. Like how long was she sitting on the beach in the beginning? Like it all kind of threw me off.
Why do you take the pumps to the beach?
Right.
Okay.
And she's in her like skivvies. I'm like, what was she getting ready to do? Like knowing that this thing was following her because it seemed like the way she reacts when she runs out of the house and like actively makes the choice to like drive to the beach and call her parents and like tell them she loves them. It seems like she like knows that she's about to be killed, you know?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I question the footwear. And it does always bother me when a filmmaker, like I think this movie is like masterfully done, but it does always bother me when a filmmaker like does something just for the sake of it, like looking cool and it doesn't actually like serve the world of
yes.
the movie or the story.
Yes. Because the rest of the movie, I think lines up pretty well.
Yeah.
And that, It didn't really set the I like it, but I don't.
Because like visually you like it, but you're like, this is not realistic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also don't understand the way she died and like why that is the way. Why is her body like that?
Yeah.
Why?
It like rips your limbs apart and like bends them back. I also like, I read in an article that like the color red, I told you this when we were watching, the color red, you guys, always means that the monster is like nearby. So like Jay's nails are red. The pumps are red. There's like a part with a red ball or when they're at the movie theater, the like the curtain's red.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting.
I like that.
Motif. And then also water like is not a safe space because like by the lake comes and then like later in the pool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the time period or lack thereof.
Yeah. It seems like it's in 2004 or something, or like mm-hmm. 2005.
Yeah, because you noted that the little sister's outfit with the Bermuda shorts and the little like Delia's like printed tee.
Oh my God.
We have a celebrity guest.
Lady, come.
This is Leah's cat, Lane.
This is Lane, Lois, and she's feeling very left out.
Yeah, so.
Lady.
She might give us her thoughts on It Follows. But yeah, it's like. That outfit was very like early 2000s. And then meanwhile, the cars are from like different time periods. The house looks like it's from the 80s. The moms are dressed like they're in like the 80s or the 70s.
Yeah.
The seasons are unclear because of like pools and then heavy jackets and like shorts and then wool sweaters. Like
There's pumpkins in the first scene.
You notice a pumpkin every time.
Of course,
time.
Every time.
Yeah.
My eye goes right to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next seems like it's spring.
Yeah, and then there are scenes where they're like driving through like sketchy parts of like the city and like the trees are totally bare and there are no leaves on them.
Yeah.
So what I read in this article was like he's purposely making you tense and uncomfortable because as humans we immediately try to like imagine ourselves in the world of whatever we're watching. And so like the entire movie struggle to place where we are in the world and what else is going on. And
right.
that already makes us uncomfortable. And then you add the device of like, something's following me and trying to kill me.
Yeah.
It's all very stressful.
It is.
I said this. You were noting how the guy she fucks in the beginning, the 21-year-old guy with the bangs.
Uh-huh.
Who takes her to the movies.
Yeah.
You said he was well cast. Like, you liked the actor who played him. What did you like about him?
I thought he just, like, reminded me of every, like, seedy high school dude I ever knew.
Kind of like white trash.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah. Like, I definitely went to a high school with a lot of those guys.
That haircut.
It's the haircut, dude. It's the haircut.
Straight across.
It is so, like, 2005 to 7. It looks like he had just gotten out of the phase where they would gel up the front.
Yes.
Where they would just gel it up.
Yes.
But he kept them, and he's like, I'm going to think about this for a second, see where my hair journey goes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was so spot on.
Yeah. It was like, I could really picture him in like a Quicksilver flip flop. And then also like his skin.
Jingo jeans.
Yes. And his skin kind of looked like he had just gotten over acne.
Yeah.
Like he had just gotten out of high school.
On the other side.
Poor, this poor actor. He's probably my number one listener. I do say, I made a note, the dude she fucks who gives her the disease or the monster, or whatever you want to call it, was, in all caps, not worth it. And I want to ask you, who would you fuck knowing that you'd get murdered and the thing would start following you after?
Who would I fuck?
Yeah, like who to you is worth fucking despite the fact that some ambiguous monster would be following you trying to murder you after?
Adam Driver.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love him.
I would
really love him.
He would like throw you around.
He's so gorgeous in my eyes.
He's really sexy.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Whoa. I think you guys would be like a great celeb couple.
Thank you so fucking much. She's already married. It's okay.
Well, you know.
But in this climate,
yeah, right.
You can say what's gonna happen.
Yeah, who knows how long a marriage will last. I think I would probably fuck like Ryan Gosling circa Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, I mean, that was
seriously, it's like you're photoshopped. Yeah.
Ew.
I would just like to like say that I had Ryan Gosling in me.
Yeah, of course.
One time
inside of me.
Yeah. And that way, like, even if I, you know, were taken by this monster,
okay,
I would be able to be like, well, I can go to the other side knowing, like, being able to tell everyone in heaven or hell, wherever I end up, saying, I fucked Ryan Gosling and he was this big.
Yeah. You have knowledge that so many others don't.
We'll never know.
Yeah. We'll never know. And you know what? You take that with you.
On my journey.
On your journey.
To the other.
Yeah.
To the afterlife.
Your leg may have been bent in half. Every limb you had may have been bent in half, but you know Ryan Gosling's dick size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Case closed.
Case closed. Okay. Drop the mic. Wait, we talked about this earlier, how we worked at a serving job together in Chicago that will remain nameless for this episode, but I'm sure I've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take, you know, Angela Lansbury to figure out where the fuck we worked if you stalked our Instagrams enough. However, I was talking to Leah, you guys, earlier about how in Amityville Horror, the basement of the house is like it's the gateway to hell.
Yeah.
And I said, I will know that I really fucked up in my lifetime if I pass away and I end up in the restaurant that we used to work at together. Like, to me, the Amityville Horror basement, if you open that door to hell, it just leads straight to our first serving job.
Just gingham. I've had nightmares.
Gingham and day-old salads.
I have worked there again.
Really?
Yeah. Have you not? I have them every now and then. Yeah.
Where like you forgot to put in a cornbread and.
Yeah. And I'm getting yelled at. I'm like, oh my God, how did I end up back here? I thought I lived in Los Angeles. All of a sudden I'm living in Chicago and working in this fucking horrible job. I dream about that. I lay my sweet little head to bed at night. And those are the thoughts that come into my brain.
Sure. Yeah.
It's dark.
Yeah, I mean, the scent of the shirts that I used to wear to that job never went away.
You had to burn them. Just burn them in a fire.
Did you set them on fire, actually?
I mean, that would be really crazy if I did that.
It's like
a ritual.
Shirt on fire.
I don't know if I did. I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. dipping chicken fingers in spinach dip. That was a big mood at that job.
Sounds so good right now.
Both of those things together, totally. Who would be the scariest person to follow you? Like, you know how the monster can take different forms?
Yeah.
Who who's one person, if you turned around and saw them, let's say it's a famous person, just to, you know, so you don't hurt anyone's feelings. Oh, if you turned around and saw them following you, you'd be like, oh, fuck. Do you want me to start what you think?
Yeah.
Mine would be either Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules. If he was following me,
oh my God,
with his fucking bunions and his like sweaty, bunions, his sweaty, ruddy face, I'm going to get blocked on Twitter immediately for this, but that would scare me. Or Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
I would like fucking run.
Oh man.
And I didn't even realize how topical that, you know, cause the monster you get through sexual encounters, and Harvey's a predator in that way. So
literally he is a monster.
Yeah. So, you know, that would, wow, that would really scare me.
I think you did it. You did it. Cause I don't know.
Harvey's really scary. Or like Donald Trump, wouldn't love him following me. And you know, the fucking monster in this movie, they're always like naked. Like what if a naked Donald Trump was
fucking
following
God.
You?
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
You know what? I think she's famous, right? The girl who died in the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, if Elisa Lam was following you.
Yeah, dude, I'm done.
That's a good one.
Actually kind of happened.
Wait, do you want to tell this story?
Yeah.
This is a spook, you guys. This is a good spook. All right, tell the story.
So this past Sunday, I was at my job and we had Elisa Lam.
I think it's Elisa or Alyssa Lam.
Alyssa Lam, whatever type character. If you don't know who that is, it's a girl who was visiting Los Angeles, died in the Cecil Hotel downtown. Yeah. Like there's crazy footage of her just like in and out of the elevator. Looks like she's running away from something or like scared out of her damn pants and like talking to herself. Anyways, that's the last footage they have of her. The next day they find her completely naked and drowned in a vat.
Like a water tank.
A water tank.
A heavy cement water tank.
After all the hotel guests are like complaining about the scent coming out of the water, and they're like, all right, I guess we'll go investigate. And they find this chick.
Decomposed body. Well, it's really the video. You guys can look it up on YouTube, but it will give you nightmares.
Do it during the day.
Yeah, do it during the day. I did it during the day. But it is so creepy because she's like hiding by the buttons and she keeps like peeking around the door and the doors like won't close. And then she like goes in the hall and it looks like she's talking to someone and like trying to reason with them.
Yeah.
And then she goes back in the elevator and like is hiding again. And then the doors just slowly close. And then like she was found dead.
Yeah. Well, apparently she was heavily medicated and they don't know if she took her stuff that day, but
how did her body even get in,
girl,
that tank?
Girl, why are you up in that tank?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, how can a human being get a body in that tank?
But that's some, like, It Follows shit.
Yeah.
Okay? Unexplained death.
Yeah. Spook me, daddy. Well, spook me, daddy. It gets worse.
So Sunday, there's this girl, dude, who just, dude, is the audience, your audience.
Yeah.
I call them all dude.
It's fine.
Who is just very resembles this girl and is just stalking me and my friend at our job. She won't stop staring at us, looking us dead in the eye, saying I'm looking for the one with the bleached eyes. It was just insane. Anyways, I roided out, hulked out on her, was fully prepared to beat her ass, but she really scared me. I had to come home. I had to like sage and Palo Santo my body, my house. Like it really, really upset me. If she was she kind of was, so I'm triggered. But if I think that's who I'd be terrified of following me.
Yeah.
Like
either actual Elisa Lam or that girl from the bar.
Yeah.
And you said she stood outside the window and stared you in the eyes like a scary person and then came in being like, I'm looking for the one with the bleached eyes. I'm looking for the one with the bleached eyes.
Yeah. It's like, well, you found her, bitch. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're about to get pummeled.
You're full Erica Jane. You were like, you went full.
Yeah. Eyes go black.
Like her on the junk boat being like, yes. Don't do that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
You don't know what I go through.
That was me after my shift. Yeah. Yeah. Just doing a wellness check on yourself, telling everyone what just happened to you. You bartend. I don't fucking have the balls to bartend. I want to disappear into the kitchen and say, hey, one of y'all deal with that.
I'm over it.
I ain't dealing with that.
Oh, I shut down the bar. It's like, I'm over this. I don't get paid enough for this bullshit.
You're like,
I'm
going
to go take a bottle of mezcal to the face. Fuck off, world.
Did you drink mezcal straight?
No, I put a little ginger beer in there.
Chic.
Yeah.
I love that. Also, you guys, I just want to say we're not drinking while we do this, which is truly the shock of my life.
There's a little bit of regret. I wish I had some bubbles right now.
Yeah, some bubbles are like for me, like a bourbon, like spiced apple cider drink with like a cinnamon stick.
Yes. Come on.
Some aromatics.
Why didn't we do that?
Fuck!
I don't want to go to yoga at 5:30.
I don't. You're responsible.
I'm hungover as shit right now. I don't know if I'll
go. Really? Oh, yeah. You went out last night.
Yeah. We had another bad night, so we just
After work?
Or mezcal.
You raged. Yep. Well, you looked adorable. I saw you on the gram.
Bingo.
Yeah. There's also a scene where right after Jay notices, like, the old woman following her at school. The old woman who lives in a witch shoe.
I love her.
You loved her. She, when I first saw it, she scared me the most.
Yeah.
She decides to visit her sister who works at the local ice cream shop and eat some ice cream. And I just want to say, if that were happening to me and I ate ice cream, the volcanic asshole diarrhea that would ensue with the anxiety coupled with the dairy.
Yeah.
The anxiety of people following me, trying to kill me. The dude who just like fucked me and then passed an STD where someone murders you mixed with dairy.
Dairy. I don't want ice cream.
Yeah. Jay, I don't get that choice. I really don't.
It's not comfort food. No. I don't care what any of you people say. No. It's not.
It's not. I love ice cream, but not when I'm anxious. Just no. Comes right out the other end. Who do you think is the scariest out of all the in people? All the I would have gotten in and out. I would have gotten a burger.
Yes.
I would have gotten some like umami flavors up in my mouth.
Yes.
Some savory shit. Some garlic butter, a Papa John's pizza, thank some
you.
Ranch.
Thank you. A bowl of ranch.
A bowl of ranch with a spoon.
Yeah.
Who do you think out of all the people who follow Jay, like who do you think is like the scariest?
The tall dude definitely freaked me out for sure.
I think he scares the most people. Like the popular opinion is tall guy is the scariest.
Definitely not her dad.
I didn't even, how did you clock it was her dad? You guys, the guy,
I don't know.
The guy who throws all the shit in the pool when they have a really dumb idea to kill the monster is her dad. And I didn't know until I read all these articles online.
I think the first time when I saw it, I paid a lot of attention, which is so rare, mm-hmm. For me in movies. But when she says, when the sister asks Jay, who is it? I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
That right there, I was like, oh, that's the dad. I don't know why.
You're so smart.
I mean, it comes every now and then, but I somehow picked up on that.
Yeah, I never noticed that. But also, like, that's what's cool about this movie is, like, there's so many little things that you'll notice, like, multiple times when you watch it. Like, everything's intentional. Like, the mom is, like a drunk this entire movie, and I didn't notice that until, like, the last time I watched it.
Yeah.
Like, she's always seen boozing.
I didn't pick up on that. I thought it was just, like, a Stranger Things, like, dynamic where the parents just, like, disappear and, like, let the children run rampant.
Yeah.
With zero supervision.
Yeah. Well, the fan theory is that the dad killed himself because there's a part where the hot guy who lives across the street that she eventually fucks, his mom, there's a part where they're, like, looking through the curtain at Jay's family's house, and the mom goes, oh, that family is such a mess.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, like, that the dad killed himself, the mom's an alcoholic, the kids are sort of abandoned and, like, left to their own devices. But there's all these really – and then there's a part where they're, like, will your mom be mad if we go to your lake house? And he's, like, she won't even notice. So there's also this big undertone of, like, parents who are sort of, like, disengaged from their kids.
Yeah.
Which is, like, sad. And the fact that his mom ends up being the one who kills him, like, ends up – the monster ends up taking the form of his mom when he gets murdered at the end.
Well,
sad.
I mean, these are also kids that are like going to go like fucking abandoned like warehouses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not much parental supervision.
Right?
Even though my they won't hear this. Even though my parents were really, really on it, mm-hmm. I went and did bullshit stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, kids will do what they want
to
do.
Totally. My mom used to tell me, she was like, I don't know who will listen to this either, but God rest my mom's soul. She used to say,
yes.
After college, if you want to have sex in the house, just lock the door and, you know, keep to yourself. But like, I can't do anything after you've been away at school for 4 years. And also she goes, you know what happens when a parent says that their kid can't have sex? They end up doing it in disgusting, weird places. And I don't want that for you.
I
want you to be in a comfortable room with a lock.
A pillow.
Yeah. Aww. She's like, I don't want you doing it on like dirty piles of laundry or like in a car. And honestly, I'm very like Rachel from Friends about like the most exotic place I've had sex is the foot of the bed. Because like I'm a creature of comfort.
Sure.
You know, I'm not into the voyeurism. I'm very boring. I want to be comfortable. I want some nice Pottery Barn
sheets.
I'm
not shocked. Yeah. This doesn't shock me.
Yeah, I'm a diva. I'm like, I don't want people to look at me. My body is my business. I think the scariest person is the old lady.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
She freaks me out more than...
Her expression is just so like blank.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely freaks me out more than the tall guy.
Also, what I think is interesting, we talked about the girl who's there's this one girl who pops up. She's a big mood. She has one sock, a tit out, like missing teeth, peeing herself.
I've been her.
I mean, she's a state of mind. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Literally pissing herself all over.
It's a vibe.
Oh, where's her? Yeah, where are her teeth?
Some busted teeth. And the creepiness is that they don't really explain who any of these people are. Like the first woman right. she sees creeps me out too. Just the naked lady like walking up a hill. Scary.
I think, well, excluding hopefully the grandma.
Yeah.
I thought maybe all these people were people who had been followed.
Oh yeah. Well, you do see the girl from the beginning of the movie in the beach scene.
Yeah. And that chick kind of looks like a hooker. She kind of looks like a prostitute. I mean, she looks fucking crazy.
She looks like something horrible happened to her. It's kind of sad.
Yes. Like yeah. There was some sort of abuse.
I mean,
she's got her tit out.
Yeah.
Not that means you're a prostitute. Just, you know.
She was in some precarious situation, yeah. it seems. Yeah. That would cause her to pee herself.
I don't know how. Oh, well, okay. So I that's my theory. I think that.
Or she's like a victim of something.
Yeah.
It's fucking sad. Yeah. I would love to watch this movie with a director's commentary because I just have so many questions. And like. It seems like some things like the red pumps are just for the sake of like a cool shot. So I would love to know like what's intentional. And it seems like so many things are.
Right.
And like what was just like for the sake of like shock, if anything. You know what I mean?
I think that the chick who's like just pissing herself in the kitchen makes me laugh more than anything. That wasn't really scary. I was just like, help her.
Yeah. Help her. I know. That's the thing. Like, if there's something deeper behind it, I would love to know. But yeah, my first impulse was just like, oh shit, you're having a rough night. Poor thing. Get her a top.
Yeah.
What? Oh, who would you? This is like maybe a dumb question. Okay, so Jay has the option between Paul or Greg. Paul is sort of the skinny, nerdy one who's like, I liked you too. And then you have
boring.
And then you have Greg.
Who's, big dicks, though.
Yeah. It's always the skinny, quiet ones who just hung like a sea biscuit.
Yeah, but then it's not worth it because they're just boring. Yeah. Anyways,
and
sorry,
then you have Greg who's sort of like the cocky, like hot guy from across the street. If you were Jay, in Jay's position, you had this It Follows monster disease, whatever. Which one of them? Because I think she fucks them both. She
does. Fucking all y'all.
Yeah. So which one of those two guys would you fuck first, and why?
I would do the sweet one first, because. Or how does that work? Actually, do you give it to both?
No, because I think once you pass it, then he has to fuck someone else, unless. He dies and the monster goes back to you and then you get to like go back to the drawing board and try again.
Yeah. I would do the sweet one first and then and then the douchebag.
The sweet one.
In hopes that the douchebag would die.
I think
Jesus.
You're like justice.
So dark.
I know. This episode took a darker turn. Good. But it's a dark movie. What I also love about it, though, is how campy it is. Like, it's like, yes, it's dark, but it also has this, like, Goonies, Stranger Things, Stand By Me, like, wash over it, where it's like, at the end of the day, there are a bunch of kids trying to, like, solve a mystery, which I love.
Which we love.
Yeah, who doesn't? It's so nostalgic and fun, and the fact that the time period seems kind of vintage is cool.
Yeah.
It's just so beautifully shot, too. Also, we talked about this. Those really uncomfortable, long, like, zooms in or out are one of the best cinematic devices to draw, like, to create tension and make you uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's just, the cinematography is so fucking bomb.
It is. It's simple.
Yes.
Less is more.
Yes.
And that's what I think so many horror movies and scary movies, they don't nail.
No.
Less is more.
Yes.
It's just like the Blair Witch, man.
Yeah.
Less is more. That shit was scary as hell. I think it's absolutely terrifying.
It still is scary.
And you never see anything. And that's what's the scariest part. And it's the... Of course, the actors, you know, have to nail it, but it's the feeling of fear.
Yeah, it's like the not knowing. It's your imagination running wild and filling in the blanks.
Yes.
Like, what's behind that door? What's in that corner? What am I going to see next?
Yeah.
That it does so well.
Yep.
I think I would probably do what Jay did and fuck Greg first, because I think the theory was like, Greg can readily bang another girl pretty easily. Like, he seems like the personality to be like, oh, fuck it, I'll just go hook up with someone else. But also, Greg didn't believe in it, which is why it wasn't the best choice, because he didn't believe in this thing following her. He was like, it's not going to get me. And I feel like Paul is smarter than Greg.
Right.
So I understand your choice, because Paul would be like, okay, this thing is definitely real. Like, he believes in it. And so he's like, I'm going to go get a hooker.
Yeah. A smart man.
Yeah. Whereas like, I feel like my dumb ass would be like, well, Greg can outrun this thing more than this, than Paul can. And I am friends with Paul and don't want him to die.
Sometimes, well, that's the theory of actually fear can keep you alive.
Fear can keep you alive.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the book, The Gift of Fear?
No.
Clayton told me about it. Shout out to Clayton. It's basically this guy who I think, I don't want to butcher this, he had some very anxiety inducing job. I want to say it had something to do with like either the police force or the military or something like that.
But God bless him.
Yes. But basically the book is about how fear is a gift, because it's basically like your intuition's talking to you and knowing when
you're listening
and knowing when to listen to it and when to tune in versus when it's just anxiety sort of like taking over and like taking things from 0 to 100, which is something I'm trying to work on in my personal life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fine line between listening to your intuition and your gut, like gut feelings and paranoia.
Yes.
Cause you can work yourself up.
Yes.
But I think that, yeah, there's a fine line.
Yeah.
I'm really good at kind of, I think I'm good at kind of discerning the two.
Yeah.
Sometimes I let it go rampant.
I was talking to my therapist about this today, how I'm like, my impulse is to like, I, not to make this too deep, you guys, we're talking about It Follows, but I was realizing I was realizing how like growing up, I would do everything by asking my mom first. Like even if I was like, hey, I think I want to get a scone today, mom. Should I get a scone? Like I would call her and like get her to be like, girl, treat yourself, get the scone. Mm-hmm. And so it groomed me to be the type of person, because we were like best friends and talked all the time. Like I can't make a decision on my own without polling like 15 different people. So if I'm anxious about something, I'll tell so many people about it and be like, what would you do? What should I do? What should I do?
Yeah.
But then they work themselves up and everyone has a friend of a friend of a friend who had this worst case scenario thing happen to them. And then that gets in your head.
Right.
And it kind of like becomes a too many cooks in the kitchen situation where you're like, now I don't even know what my gut is telling me anymore because I have the influence of like 45 different people fogging my vision of this situation. And now I am paranoid and now I don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah. And that's when you just need to look inside yourself.
Yeah.
And like sit in silence for a second.
Yes.
And then you listen.
Yes.
We're always being told. I need to actually take this advice and apply it to my life right now.
Yeah, me too. my therapist and I were talking about like, she was like, okay, so the goal then is to get you to a place where like you can sit in that silence without working yourself up long enough to make a decision and then trust that decision is right because you've sat with your thoughts and you've weighed your options and you know what's real and what's not. And
yeah.
And you can like empower yourself without needing to turn to others to like confirm that your choice is right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear is good.
Yeah.
Fear is good. You can't let it control you.
Exactly. I also think like,
I've also never been followed by some crazy monster. So yeah. I'm being very judgmental of people that I simply cannot relate to.
Yeah. Well, this whole movie is like a fucking nightmare, but I do think in like situations, like there are like, I have friends that are on the opposite end of the spectrum from me who are like, that would never happen. And they're sort of just like,
you're dumb. It could
kind of on like autopilot, just able to like float around their life without getting nervous. And I'm very Jewish and that I'm neurotic and I'm Jewish about everything. I'm nervous about everything. But I'm like, instead of saying like, oh, that would never happen. Like, yes, don't let the anxiety overtake you to the point where you can't like do anything. But if you're scared of a situation, be like, okay, what's my strategy? Like, how would I deal with this if it were to happen? Like, what would I do?
My dad has yourself. Always said, expect the unexpected.
Yes, Alan.
And he used to tell me that about driving when he was teaching me to drive, which is so legit. But I think it's just life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just expect shit to go wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, if a dude has weird 90s bangs in the year 2019, don't hook up with him because he might give you a sexually transmitted monster. You know what I mean?
Know who you're fucking.
Yes. You know, keep yourself safe. Yeah. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered. That's from my favorite murder.
I love that podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't listen to true crime because it makes me too anxious, but I respect those gals and what they do. I respect their craft.
See, I'm like them, but
I can't. It scares me too much.
I love it. I love them.
Wow. We've already been doing this for 44 minutes. Can you believe?
Oh. It's almost over.
What would your strategy be if these characters, like, you're not in the world of the movie except for the fact that, like, you were given the sexually transmitted monster.
Right.
what would your next move be? Like, what would your strategy be?
How to get rid of this thing?
Yeah, like what type of person would you fuck? We're not talking about Paul or Greg specifically now, but you're like, okay, I gotta pass this shit along. Oh. Who do you bang? And do you tell them about it?
Well, that's what I gotta say. I respect about Bang Boy.
Yeah.
What is his name?
I don't remember, but the guy with the bangs, yes.
Yeah, is that he sat shells. Her down. He chloroformed her.
Yeah.
Chloroformed. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know.
A casual chloroforming. Yeah. And then he's like, here's what's up.
And I'm going to sit you down. I'm going to take the time mm-hmm. and tell you what's going on.
Tie you to a chair.
Yeah.
Prove to you that it's real.
I really respect him for that choice.
Yeah, totally.
Because he could have just let her like go and die. But then that also affects him because right. that comes back to him.
Right.
So I think I would. I mean, I like that strategy. I think it's a good strategy because mm-hmm. if you don't, chances are mm-hmm. they're going to get killed because they're not knowing mm-hmm. what's up. And then it's going to come right back to you.
Yeah.
So I find a candidate who wants to work with me.
Okay. So you're like buddies. Kind of like how Jay and Paul were like, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, because I can
be open. Be open. Communicative.
Communicative. That's yeah. a very like humane way to deal with a really fucked up situation. I think, so I said during the movie that I think my strategy would be to find like a 97-year-old man who yeah. doesn't have a lot of time left. So that like if he does get killed, it's not like I'm really like robbing him of like a lifetime of experiences.
Right.
But then I realized he wouldn't really be able to outrun whatever was following him very easily. He'd just be like sitting on the couch and then the thing would get him in. Like, he'd be watching
2 minutes.
He'd be watching Jeopardy and the thing would be like, hey, you're done. And then it would come right back to me.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, while I think that my initial idea makes sense for the most part, it is the whole it coming back to you like a fucking boomerang
yeah,
that makes
awful.
It makes it tricky. And it like that's what this movie does so well is it makes you paranoid because you're like Jay's going to live the rest of her life in paranoia.
Right.
That it's going to murder Paul or her or whatever.
Because can it eventually somehow get back to you?
Yeah.
If all of these people die.
I think fucking a hooker is the best call.
I agree.
Because they're going to fuck someone else pretty quickly anyways.
It's their job.
Yeah. And like they have to pay their bills. Sex right. work is great. I totally endorse. But like they're going to fuck someone else anyway pretty soon. And, you know, then there's just more people, more yeah. buffers between you and the monster. Mm-hmm. You know?
Agreed. Agreed.
I guess in closing, I would like to know what is your favorite scary movie of all time? I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's my roommate, Alicia. What is my favorite scary movie? Oh, my God. I don't know. Honestly, I love The Blair Witch.
That's your fave.
I think it is.
I haven't watched it in a very long time.
It really, really fucking scares me.
Still scares you.
Yeah.
And you like camping too.
Yes. It's so like kind it of ruined away nature. What you love.
Yeah.
Not, it hasn't ruined nature, but
yeah.
it really has. Like, I think the last time I was camping, I was like, I just feel like there's going to be children banging on this tent.
Is that how it starts?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not how it starts. There's a point in the movie where it's just, there's bang, 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 bang on the tent.
Mm-mm.
And you just hear distant I can't do
crying
it anymore. Yeah, I just can't do the camping anymore unless I'm wasted.
Sure. I think I have the demonic shit is what scares me the most.
Yeah, I watched The Conjuring on.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Second clap.
Bye.
Bye.
Second clap. Bye.
Wig.
Bye.
Bye wig.
Yeah, done.
Sinister, that movie fucked me up. Don't appreciate it. Takes movies like the act of making homemade movies and makes them scary, which makes me sad.
I didn't watch that. I don't think I can watch that.
I think House of the Devil really fucked me up. We watched that
yes.
together.
I didn't think that.
But she was kind of a dumbass.
Scary.
Like she had every chance to flee and ruined it.
Like you asked for this.
Yeah. I think like the demonic shit is what scares me the most. Like The Exorcist,
yeah.
such a classic. Rosemary's Baby, such a classic and so topical because it's about a woman being gaslit by her fucking husband and a bunch and like a cult of people. Cults scare me.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like the one thing, knock on your wall, about well, why I feel like demonic shit, like I hopefully won't be possessed by a demon,
You
is because I for sure won't, but they possess like really pure people.
Yeah, and well then we're fine.
I'm already too, you know, evil for it to really have much to do with me.
Virgins, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, that's done. That's done. Yeah. So
ship is gone.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know what movie, you guys? Because I, you know, I only have like two more episodes of Halloween themed episodes already.
Wow. Thank you for having me. I'm truly honored. Thank you
so much for doing this.
Thank you for thinking I was dark enough.
You are dark enough. You're the Halloween queen.
Yeah.
I think The Last Exorcism is also one of the scariest movies. That one will fuck you right up. It's a mockumentary style as well, and it's about like a girl named. What's her name?
I can't watch those. See, I haven't seen any of them because I can't.
Don't do it.
I'm
but
too
listeners,
scared of those.
Listeners, if you want a really good spook, Last Exorcism, I'm pretty sure it's streaming right now. It's a good spook. And The Witch is really good.
The Witch.
The Witch is a good spook. It's very like old English.
Prithee thee.
Prithee thee, thou ost. Like disappear into the woods. And
thou dost never have a child. And I don't even fucking know.
That was good.
Thou dost. That's it. Thou dost and prithee thee.
Prithee thee. You were good at Shakespeare in college theater.
I was, actually. I was really good.
You have to be really extra to be good at Shakespeare.
I was probably the best female. I'm sorry. I was
Did
really
you ever
good.
Play Lady Macbeth?
No.
That used bucket list. I'm going to do a black box theater production of Macbeth, and it's actually just going to be called Lady Macbeth, and it'll be like a spinoff. Just
I love it.
Lady
Let's
Macbeth.
Just do it.
Great. Well, yeah, The Witch. Watch it, but watch it with subtitles. I just want to give them some scary movie recs that we might not be able to cover in the coming weeks.
Honestly, yeah. I thought The Conjuring was one of the scariest ones I've seen. What did I watch? Oh, I watched fucking... the last two scary movies I've watched have been on planes. And I think that's the best way to watch a movie because you're in the air.
There are people
around.
You're in a
box. There's people everywhere. Mm-hmm. What scary movie takes place in a plane? None.
Yeah, very
and
true.
Pet Sematary was so lame.
I heard it was terrible.
It was awful.
Also,
there was definitely scary parts.
I hear it's a lot of jump scares.
Yes, it is that.
As opposed to like a psychological mind fuck,
right.
Which is what really lingers in your brain at like 4 a.m. when you can't sleep.
Yeah.
And then you just have to like wake up and see that your Hulu's like, are you still watching? And then you hit okay, and then it goes back to Real Housewives, and it's like,
yes,
Lisa Rinna being Lisa like Rinna. You know, it's Lisa Rinna dancing
the greatest monster of all.
Yeah, truly. If Lisa Rinna followed me with her little dancing, that would actually scare me. It's the most scary it follows
she really
person
is. She really is.
Or if like PK were following me, that would unsoothe me.
I hate them. I don't like him.
A lot of the Real House husbands, if they were following me as the monster, that would really scare me. Like Shane
Ken,
from Real House Husbands.
Ken peeing himself
with one sock. Very scary.
holding
Jiggy with a tit out. Just like mumbling to himself.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say the guys, if you're like me and Leah, where you love a good spook, but then you can't sleep later, always turn on old episodes of Real Housewives because they will just soothe you like a hot pad to the soul and to the heart and the mind.
It's
and
so
you'll
true.
Be able to just like zen out and just keep it on all
Mindless,
night.
Mindless, baby.
Keep
Mindless.
It on all night. So if you do wake up, it's like to something soothing and then just go back to sleep.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
You just hear catty women fighting about nothing and nothing is more soothing than that.
Truly. Leo, where can my listeners find you on socials? And are there any things you would like to plug or promote while you're here?
I'm on Instagram, LEO_KIDD. My website is in the little bio, so you can click that.
Do it.
Really accessible to all music platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. That's all that people listen to. Those
yes.
Tidal. Like who goes on Tidal? I'm sorry. Who does
it's
that?
Hurtful that Jay-Z took all of his music away from us, but go on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I just released a single in July. Oh, cool. It's been 3 months. Great.
Woo.
And I've got some more really cool stuff coming out. Music video, another single. Yeah.
I'm
find
so
me
excited.
There.
You guys find her.
Stream Temporary.
Temporary by Leo Kidd. You guys, you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
I do want to say too.
Heard it here last, honestly.
Yeah, you've been promoting it very well, and so have I. Yeah. But, I do want to say You guys, I'm not just saying this because you're one of my best friends. She's an incredible musician. And if you're in LA and have a chance to see her live, I promise you do it. Literally, my jaw drops every single time. It's an amazing show. And someday, like Erika Jayne, you will be very expensive to see. So
I hope.
See her. No, you will.
Okay, I will.
The same way that I won't be possessed by a demon, you will be expensive like Erika Jayne. So listen to her, see her, follow her at Leo Kid.
Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
Thank you for having me. And guys, if you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter. And leave me a rating and a review if you haven't already. Thank you so much for reaching out and for listening. And again, if you want bonus content, head to patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn for pretty wild recaps. And then I'll either be moving on to NYC Prep or The Hills Season 1. But message me and let me know what you think. All right.
Brilliant.
Thank you for being here, babe.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Happy Halloween, fools.
Happy Halloween. Bye.